Frankie Corrado obviously was a big part of the pregame, the postgame, the intermissions last night. He was down in the building, and he joins us now here on Overdrive. Frankie, how would you describe the difference in emotion, the difference in mood in that building after the first period compared to after the third period?
Yeah, I mean, like, you could feel the energy kind of get sucked out of that building as Tampa has the early momentum in the game, right? You talk about that Stamkos goal. I don't think Tampa necessarily earned that goal by any means. That's just an over back check, missing assignments, not catching the second wave. And so, you know, you give up that one, you give up the Hedman one on the power play. And, you know, there's nothing fancy about that power play either, right? Like, it's just shots to the net. It's bodies in front. It's meat and potatoes hockey for a very good Tampa team. And that's been part of their recipe. But when those two things happen, you can just feel the energy kind of get drained, and people are looking around saying, they can't believe it. Like, it's here we go again. Like, have they not learned the lessons? And I really thought it was the 5-on-3 kill. And I know it was, you know, a shorter duration, but Campbell makes some really big saves. You get fortunate that Kucherov misses the net on a one-timer where he has a lot of net to work with. So, yeah. You know, you can talk about being opportunistic offensively. You also need to be opportunistic defensively, if that makes sense, right? Like, you get the timely save, you get a lucky bounce, and so, you know, those things kind of help propel you into the intermission. And, you know, I can imagine going into that intermission, you're thinking, okay, like, Tampa had every reason to bury us there. You know, they had a chance. We only got four shots on net. That's not going to cut it against Vasilevsky, but we're very much in this game. Like, they didn't run away with it. They kind of kept us in it. And now there's an opportunity with 40 minutes left to take over control of the game. And the thing I liked about how the Leafs approached it was they chipped away at it. Like, how many times over the years have we seen the Leafs where it's not going their way, they get frustrated, and then there's the parade of penalties, or it's the parade of mistakes, or it's too much offensively, like too run and gun. And in that game last night, it was like, no, let's just stick to the plan. Let's chip away at it. And we have, you know, 40 minutes to win this game. It doesn't need to be won in the next 15 minutes. They played a little bit of a long game, which I liked, and you could feel that building just come to life. Like, as that second period kept going on and they were playing on the power play, they were playing 5-on-5, they obviously weren't shorthanded. That makes a huge difference, right? And you could just feel the energy kind of build throughout the night, and you know, you finish it off with that Matthews goal, and I thought the roof was going to pop off that place. It was really cool to see. Obviously, I've played a lot of games in that building, sat in the press box for way more games in that building. That's the loudest and most energetic I've ever seen it.
I was going to say, if I was at the game with Hayes, Frankie, he would lean over and say, I know he would say this, if Matthews scores the game-winning goal in this moment, this place is going to go nuts. How was it to watch the fans and just hear that celebration? I know Matthews had the old school Ray Bourque, like pumpernickel.
That was
windmill.
A great selling.
Oh, it was great. It was sick. Yeah. It was the best. What was it like, Frankie?
It was so showtime. I'll be so honest with you. It was so showtime. It was so cool. It felt like the glitz and glamour of, you know, professional sports on the highest level. You know, you think about the major soccer stars, the major basketball stars, these guys that are just revered as the world's greatest athletes. Like, you know, hockey doesn't get that kind of coverage worldwide, but as a hockey fan, as a player, being in that building and watching Matthews, that puck hits his stick and he puts it in the back of the net, I felt just you feel such a rush. You know, it's a rush of emotion, but it was incredible. And you know what, you couldn't have scripted it any better. I was asking the Tatman in the pregame, like, do you think Matthews needs to score tonight in order for the Leafs to win? And it seems like a no-brainer, right? Like, you want to win big games. It's Matthews needs to score. Marner needs to contribute. Tavares, Nylander, like, these need to be the guys that get it going. And, you know, typically I see Matthews as the guy who gets the party started, you know, but last night he ends the party. Like, he sends everyone home happy, and the party, you know, he sends everyone to the after party, let's say, O-Dog.
Right.
You mentioned the Tatman. You mentioned the Tatman. What's his routine up there? Is he still having multiple?
Two drumsticks, probably.
Two drumsticks, so, pizza, popcorn after the first. Give me the routine.
So you could talk about Leafs players and their urgency to execute. Well, it goes with the Tatman as well. Like, there's an urgency up there to, he's in the doors at 4:30. Like, you know, he puts out the video of the Zambonis on the ice. Like, I'm still on the Gardner, and I see that he's tagged me in that video, and I'm like, how is this guy already at the arena? But then it's like clockwork. You can just check your phone, and you know what time it is, and there's a couple slices, and then there's the coffee, and then usually the drumstick comes out with about 8 minutes left in the first period, but now there's way more press. Like, there's a lot more, you know, it's very, a lot of commotion up there, so he actually goes right from the pregame show straight to the fridge, and grabs a drumstick and takes it to the seat. So
does he still brush his teeth before the game?
No. Well, he's got the mask on. He doesn't need to, I guess.
I guess, but that's not necessary. Like, yeah. Oral hygiene doesn't matter anymore.
He's such a legend up there. Everyone wants to stop and chat. He's like, ah, I got to get moving. Like, I got a game to cover. You know the way he is.
Yeah, big shooter, man. The Tap Man's, he's a legend down there. He's been covering games there since the first day it opened. It goes back to the Gardens. He knows what's up with Frankie Corrado here on Overdrive. So as we roll it over to game six tomorrow night, I would take, if it's a tie game going into the third, I think the Leafs would accept that right now. Like, where can you sign? Basically, give yourself a chance. Right, like, considering the way Tampa has countered in games 2 and 4, their history, 16 straight wins in the playoffs coming off a loss, that's got to be the attitude. Clearly a hot start. Like, you've got to be alive and ready to play. That goes without saying. But just give yourself a chance to get a bounce and win one tomorrow night. Is that underselling it, or would you be more greedy than that if you're the Leafs?
I'm not greedy. I think they need to go in with the attitude that we really need to earn it. We're not going to get this one. You need to think about this for a second. You want to end a team's season. Like, just think about how monumental that is. And you guys all played the game, so you guys know, right? Like, you're at the rink every day with the same group of guys.
Right.
These guys become your brothers. And your practices, your games, your restaurants, you're with these guys all day. And you're going to end their season. It's not just going to get handed to you, or rarely does it. You know, it's the bad teams that kind of roll over and hand it to you. So, you want to finish these guys. It's going to be big. It's going to be monumental. And, you know, with that being said, what I'd like to see is face it head on. Like, go in there and face it head on. Don't shelter anyone. Don't coddle anyone. You have Matthews and Marner. Like, the 97 points for Marner this year, 60 goals for Matthews this year. There shouldn't be this notion on the Leafs bench or in the Leafs dressing room that, oh, we got to get you away from Cirelli and Point because those guys, they're really good defensively. It should be the opposite way around. And no disrespect to those players, but those other guys should be like, I can't handle Matthews tonight. I just, like, Marner, he's too slippery tonight. I just, like, that needs to be what you're asserting onto them, them being Tampa. So, you know, that's kind of where I'd like to see it. And let's be honest, you have to look at things that usually happen in a playoff series that haven't happened yet. And the glaring one for me is Vasilevsky hasn't stole a game yet. So you can sit here and say that he's not going to do it, or you can say that there's a chance that that's still in the bag of tricks for Tampa. So I just think, like, you got to face it head on. You got to go right through it, because obviously I think they're 0-7 in decisive games to knock a team out. So it's not going to be an easy task.
Well, that's it. That's the number that I'm sure Tampa will be focused on. They'll be focused on two of them. One, their own 16 in a row coming off a loss, and the one that you just referenced, when the Leafs have had ample opportunities over the last 5 years to close out series. They have not been able to do it. I think it's a good sign for the Leafs. It'll say something about the way they play if Vasilevsky is in a position where they have to steal the game, right? If he's in a position where he has to steal the game, then the Leafs are outplaying them. The Leafs are performing.
You can live with that if you're
the
Leafs,
right?
Like,
you
can say that. You can say that, like, if you go in and you lose game six, right? Like, you can go in and you say, well, we just got outgunned, and you have this underlying confidence that, yeah, we're going to get them. Like, they got away with one on us, you know. But if you go in there and you start making the mistakes and you want to cheat to offense and you don't want to really earn it, then you go back with the pressure. You go back with the pressure to say, we blew it. Like, we blew a great opportunity, and it's nobody's fault but our own. I think that's, you know, of all the things you need to avoid in Game 6, that's the main one, right? Like, ultimately, you do have two opportunities to win the game. I think how you come out in Game 6 is going to be huge. And let's be honest, like, when the Leafs are playing their high-tempo pace, 5-on-5, Tampa looks slow. And they're not a slow team. Like, they have a lot of guys who can motor around the ice, but I think that just speaks to the level of execution and speed that the Leafs play at when they're at the top of their game.
with Frankie Corrado. Go ahead, Noodles.
I was going to say, I just wanted to jump on that, like, 5-on-5. Where are you at with the penalties? We've complained about it. I've complained about it all week just because I'd like to see some flow. I'd like to see some 5-on-5 play. I think that creates chances. I think it, you know, where are you at? Do you think that as these series go on a little bit, maybe the refs will manage it a little bit? Better's the wrong word because they're just following instructions, but
right.
Do you think that they will allow the guys to play?
You know what, Noodles, it honestly remains to be seen, man. Like, I think that I've always been of the belief that call the rule book the way you call it in the regular season and the playoffs, and I'd be okay with that. The problem now is these aren't even regular season calls that are happening. This is above and beyond, and I honestly wonder if it got to the point with, you know, the way it is, right? Like, media, we're talking, players are talking, and every year in the playoffs, it kind of comes around, and the cross-checks, everyone's getting away with things, and you don't know where the line is, and we kind of make a big deal out of it. I wonder if there was a meeting at some point where they said, oh, if they don't like that, let's call everything this year and see how much they don't like that, and then they'll be begging for us to go back to the other way. Like, that's the only explanation that I can think of in my head, but, you know, with the penalty calls, I would like to see a little more 5-on-5. I just want to see it called the way it's called in the regular season. This kind of like a stick gets horizontal, but it has no bearing or effect on the play, or it's not in a critical scoring area. I don't need that. Like, Mark Giordano gets a cross-checking penalty last night. That's 2 minutes for being stronger than someone else. That's all that is, right?
Yeah, that
and that's the
weird.
Worst. Yeah, right? And so I think it should be called the same both ways, like regular season and playoffs, and that's just how it needs to be.
With Frankie Corrado, we'll get you out of here on a lineup prediction for tomorrow night. Do you think Sheldon Keefe has found his optimal lineup, or could you see some sort of change tomorrow night?
I think he goes with the same lineup, but I'm going to go heavy first line if I'm the coach tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, Matthews,
I thought Bunting looked
played.
Good last night. Like, Bunting was back to closer to regular season
good.
Bunting. Yeah,
he did, and the other thing with Bunting is, like, it you know, it doesn't take a hockey player's eye to tell that he's not quite 100%. Like, you know, but it's such a gutsy effort by that guy to see the way he's grinding it out, and you just know he's not 100%, but he's giving you the most he possibly can. And, like, you guys know that stuff permeates through the bench. It permeates through the room. Like, Jack Campbell being highly competitive on that 5-on-3 kill last night, you don't think guys on the bench were saying, like, look at this guy. Like, this guy's dialed in. It's time for us to get going, too. And, like, so that goes the same with Michael Bunting. And, you know, everyone in that room knows he's probably not 100%, but the fact that he's mixing it up, he's engaged, he's involved, you know, that kind of stuff goes a long way with your teammates. So, you know, I wouldn't be too focused on lineup changes because I think they're marginal at best, right? You're talking about a fourth line player coming in and out of the
right.
lineup. I don't think the fourth line needs to play more than 5 minutes. I'm going heavy, heavy Marners and Matthews, but your team ultimately needs to put you in a situation where you can roll those guys because you're in the game. Like you talk about game four where you weren't in it. You were never in it. So what's the point of playing those guys 23 minutes? You're just wasting it, right? So
yep.
I think it's going to be up to the team to put themselves in a position where the big boys can take it home.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right. We'll find out what happens tomorrow night. It's always great catching up with you. Thank you, Frankie.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
Here's Frank Corrado. And he's doing pregame, postgame with a tap in.
That was a hell of a job, too.
Yeah,
he
it's awesome.
Becoming a broadcaster.
He's great,
yep.
But you're dealing with the tap man, too. Managing the tap man. That is a.
Yeah,
I love
was
it.
Listening to them last night. There was an extended version of Yes Guy, No Guy. They were just rapid firing
wow.
through some Yes Guy, No Guys last night. It was great.
Love it.
Yeah, and he's right about the lineup. I mean, ultimately, I think they roll back with what they had last night, but it's going to come down to your big boys. That's what we witnessed last night. And Michael Bunting, who's announced today the Rookies of the Year, the Calder Trophy nominees, and he's one of them. Like,
had a great season.
Yeah, great season. It's a big signing, right? They got him on 2 years, too. Like, next year it rolls over. That's likely your top line next year.
And he punted out that Raymond kid in Detroit, which is a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, I personally, the only thing that I... He's 26, and this is his seventh year pro. Like, I think, I know he qualifies for it, but that, you know, those other kids are 20.
Rules
know, like,
are and, rules, though, Noodles.
I get it, but I think, you know, Raymond had with the same amount of goals?
Real close.
But I mean,
five or six less points. He was great.
I think the spirit of the rule, that's the thing that has to be looked at. It's not Michael Bunting's fault. But
no,
it's
the
like,
kid in Detroit's going to win the award anyway.
Yeah, Sider. It doesn't matter who's second or third. But I'm happy for Bunting. He had a great season. But it just, I think the rule might have to be adjusted. That's the crazy part. Like, he's 26. He played in the AHL like 7 years ago. Like, that's, you know,
yeah,
that's a pro league.
It is. I mean, it started, was it Makarov was the first one?
And, yeah, he was like 30. And then even Kaprizov, I think, was 24 last year. But
well,
like,
Panarin, too. Like, Panarin was 25, yeah. I believe, when he won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that, you know.
Hey, so, it's damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like those, and Panarin was unbelievable that year. He connected with Patrick Kane. Kane won the Hart that season.
Right.
Which, you know, again, I don't think Bunting's going to win, like you said. It's going to be the kid in Detroit. But he's had a great year, and it was a great signing. You know, what was Arizona thinking? I have no idea. But you bring him in, you get him on a two-year deal, he connects with your two best players, and the rest is history. And I think that was a necessary adjustment for Keefe last night. And I don't expect that to change tomorrow. I would. That line's got to be intact. If he can play and he's close to 100%, I don't know what he's playing at, 85, 90%, playing with those two, right? They've been such a good connection.
Agreed.
All year. Don't mess around.